I love taking photos. I've literally thousands of them now. And I'm often the designated photographer on holidays or at family parties or when Jess and I visit somewhere together. My favourite photos are the ones that aren't posed, that capture a particular moment, not least because I have a terrible memory and it helps me remember them. But have you ever taken a photo like that only to get home and load the photos onto your computer, or if you'd like to print them out, and realize that that perfect photo is totally out of focus? That instead of focusing on the moment you wanted to capture, the camera decided to focus on something over there, and the rest of the photo is all blurry. In the early days of recording these services, I had to record an entire service all over again because the camera was focusing on the picture beside me. So now I use manual focus to stop that happening. John has no such problem at the start of the book of Revelation, or rather, the letter of Revelation, for this isn't really a book, it's a letter. John knows exactly where the focus of his letter and where the focus of the churches he's writing to should be. John begins with one of the Bible's clearest statements of God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what he says: "Grace and peace to you from the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ." Our focus is not down here or even in here. Our focus should be away from ourselves and on God. And in particular, our focus should be on Jesus, because he is how we know God. We might think of Jesus as a bridge bringing us and the Father together. And we might think of the Holy Spirit as the one who enables us to cross that bridge through faith. So it's important that if Jesus is our focus, we find out who he is. Well, John very helpfully gives us some pointers. Let's look at verse 5. First, he is the faithful witness. In other words, we can trust what he says. What he tells us and shows us about the Father is true and reliable. Second, he is the firstborn from the dead. Death no longer has any power over him. And he's the first, which implies many more. And third, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Whether good or bad, earthly rulers will have to answer to Jesus. You may recognize some of those titles if you've been following our series over the past few weeks, looking at Jesus' names and titles in the book of Revelation. And here, because this is a sort of intro and summary, John gives each of those titles an action as well, because we see who Jesus is by what he does. So he is the faithful witness who loves us. Jesus shows us what the Father's love for us truly is. Isn't this interesting, though? Jesus is not self-seeking. Instead, he opens the way and directs us, brings us home to our loving Heavenly Father. After all, the point of a bridge is not simply to exist, but to carry us safely from one side to the other. Second, Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, who has freed us from our sins by his blood. Friends, this is what love looks like. Think about that for a moment. Love is not saying who you are is okay. God's love is saying who you are is not okay, because you're broken and damaged by sin, So much you don't even realize. But this is what I'm going to do about it. I will send my Son to set you free. To set you free from sin, from its penalty, from its power, and one day its presence. That is love. That is God's love for you and for me. You see, freedom from sin only comes through death. So we have a choice. We can either die ourselves in our own sin, or we can let Jesus set us free from sin and let him die in our place. I know which I'd prefer. And if we do that, we join Jesus' family. He is, as we've seen, the first of many. Third, John says he is the ruler of the kings of the earth, who has made us to be a kingdom and priests. When we become a Christian, it's like being given a new citizenship, a new passport, a new identity. Instead of belonging to the world, we belong to Jesus and his kingdom and his rule. Of course, that comes with responsibility to live as citizens of his kingdom. But it also comes with rights as well. Did you spot there that John says Jesus makes us priests? Hang on, don't you need one of these to be a priest? No. The New Testament says several times we are all priests. In the Old Testament and in Jesus' day, priests guarded access to God. If you wanted to pray, you had to use their words. If you wanted to make a sacrifice to God, you needed their help. If you wanted God's blessing, you needed them to say it. In a sense, they enabled people to access God, but in another, they completely got in the way. Now, through Jesus, we are all priests. We all have access to God directly, like a child has access to her father. We can all pray using the words and groans that come from deep within us. We can all bless and pray for one another and our communities. We are all priests. So this is who Jesus is, and this is what Jesus does. Why would we want to focus on anyone or anything else? And yet, that's exactly what we do. Can you honestly say that your main focus is always on Jesus? If we're honest, a lot of the time Jesus is at best out of focus, and at worst, not even in the picture. You see, ultimately, sin is less about what we do or don't do, and much more about where we focus. And if our focus is on things other than God, whether they are good or bad, that is sin. Because God alone deserves our focus. He alone deserves glory and power. Which means saying, I'm a good person, is totally irrelevant. Compared to some, I'm sure you are. But the question is, if your life were a camera, what are you focusing on? Is it Jesus? Or is it something else? If you ever want to mess with a crowd of people, try standing stock still and stare into the middle distance with an amazed expression on your face. You'll soon find people that start looking, trying to see what it is that you're looking at. And John does that here in verse 7. Look, he says, he is coming. Most of you, I hope, will know our church motto, following Jesus together. Jesus needs to and must be our focus. He is the one that we are called to follow, and no other. Not me, not you, only Jesus. So, let us look. Let us fix our eyes on him. Let us focus on Jesus and on him alone. Amen.